Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hogg now with Maitland outside, and Stuart Hogg all the way, and it's two for Hogg. Two chances, two scores, two tries for Scotland.
Hello and welcome to episode 13 of the Thistle Rugby Podcast, the podcast formerly known as the only podcast that cares about Scottish rugby. How are you guys doing? It is Wednesday afternoon. I am with Matt. How are you? Back from Sacramento?
Yeah, no, I'm good, mate. Just like to clear up this bit of fake news that's been kicking around
news.
in my absence. I was actually lucky enough to be in Kenya on a little safari, which is absolutely amazing. So, lucky enough to see lions, cheetah, leopard.
What about any hippos?
Oh, no, yeah. Did you see the photos of him and Heather?
That is unfair.
It's
and
low
that
blow. It's just too easy.
That
too
lets
easy.
You know that we are also joined by Alan.
Great to be here, as always. And great to have Matt back.
It is good to have him back. Although, you know, we got record listeners without him. We should just get Alan from Galway back, shouldn't we?
That is true. And just to say, Heather is a wonderful woman and doesn't look like a hippo.
Doesn't. Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
Well done, Matt. Well done, you. Moving swiftly on from that, to remind you guys that you can, of course, follow us on the Acast podcast app or on iTunes or on Twitter. We've had a really busy week on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod. We'll get a bit more into our activities on Twitter, particularly with one Sunday Times journalist a little bit later on. But as always, you guys have been really vocal, letting us know how we're getting on. We've had a couple of great reviews. One which came after that amazing win on Saturday from King Sir Legend. It says, Alan, you need to lighten up. Where's the belief?
I think, you know, when you give someone advice and tell them to, like, calm down, and then they get even worse. I think I might just go full sort of pessimistic, like full pessimistic off the scale.
I think we have to. It's obviously working for us, so yeah. I think that's fine. And the second one, which will lead us into our, a little chat as well, is from Ian B. in Edinburgh. He says, the only podcast that cares about Scottish rugby and would disgrace a 10-year-old. Credit to 17 times Rugby Writer of the Year nominee and angry Twitter man, Stephen Jones. So that that leads on to a little bit of news, I suppose. We had a bit of a spat with the Sunday Times' premium, or I suppose he'd call himself the premium rugby writer, when all we did was he had put Rob Kearney as his Lions 15. We questioned it to say that Stuart Hogg had played him off the park, and we got blocked and called a dickhead. So I don't know. And then obviously our loyal our faithful Thistle Nats just got on there, and he was blocking everybody, wasn't he? It was completely bonkers.
It was absolutely amazing. There was some real cyber warfare on behalf of a lot of the Thistle podcast fans, which is quite funny in the end. I can maybe see him blocking them, but I mean, all we did was disagree with one of his selections, and I'm sure he gets that all the time. And if he's blocking everyone who does that, then he's not going to be off Twitter. It's a bizarre, bizarre man.
Bizarre, and he seems to be very, very proud of it. I mean, I'd be proud if I was 17 times awarded it or nominated for Rugby Writer of the Year, but I wouldn't be shouting it at, you know, a couple of podcast part-timers. It's a bit strange.
It is a bit strange. He kind of comes across like the Donald Trump of British journalism. Complete, obviously
thinner skin, probably.
Yeah, has quite a lot of like authority and prestige, but is just completely mental.
But well, good luck to you, Stephen. You know, you probably aren't listening. You said that our website would disgrace a 10-year-old, but we don't have a website. So, you know, fair enough. Why not crack on? Listen, keep doing what you're doing. Right, we're going to get into our three Thistley issues. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the great win against Ireland on Saturday. So what did we learn from that? Looking ahead to the France game on Sunday, so what does Scotland have to do to get themselves off to 2-2 at the start? And then three, we'll have the compulsory Lions conversation at the end and talk about which Scots did themselves some favours and maybe who didn't, or who maybe someone just put their hands up. So we'll talk a little bit about that at the end, but before that, I've got a list in front of me. Scottish rugby transfer news has seemed to have really kicked off this week. Obviously, with the biggest one, Monday afternoon, Hugh Jones to Glasgow.
Yeah, Hugh Jones to Glasgow. So I think he's actually not going to be coming till December, probably, 2017, because he's signed up for Super Rugby and Currie Cup season.
Has he done Currie Cup as well?
Which takes him up to the end of October. So then, really? And then you'll have Autumn Internationals. But yeah, so I think it's really, really exciting. With Pete Horn and Dunbar signed up.
Yep.
I think the big thing is what happens to Bennett.
And yeah, so Mark Palmer, our favourite Sunday Times rugby journalist, he had the scoop on I think on Sunday morning that Bennett, that Edinburgh are pretty much in for Bennett, and he could be going along the M8 to Edinburgh.
Yeah, well, there's obviously a lot of chat that he was going to go to Newcastle as well. And I think overall, this is a better move for both for him, for Edinburgh, and for Scottish rugby as a whole. I think keeping him in Scottish professional rugby is really important. And, you know, hopefully he can sort of be the spark that sort of ignites an Edinburgh backline that's been pretty pedestrian for the last few years, particularly in the centres. So, I mean, it's a shame for him. I think he'll be gutted to leave Glasgow because that's where he's from and everything. But I think it could be quite a good move.
I think it could be good. I think it equally could be really bad. He could get dragged down and to be playing in this really uninteresting backline that's got no real creativity with a huge amount of burden falling on him. So I don't know. Like I don't know. I wouldn't recommend anyone goes to Edinburgh at the moment. So to see a player like that we know that can play like Bennett to going there, I don't know. I can't get excited about it.
No, we'll see. I mean, I still think there's a lot of potential in that Edinburgh team. They've got the good pack. I think Blair Kinghorn, Hoyland are really, really good players. And I hope that Bennett is one of a few signings that they're going to make.
Well, I hope so, yeah.
I'd be very surprised if it was the only one.
Yeah, well, they obviously, I think we won't talk about it today, but there's lots of rumours about them getting a new head man as well, Cockerell's name being mentioned as well. So the draw that a guy like him coming in could make to Edinburgh would be could be significant. More transfer news. Favaro leaving Glasgow.
Yeah. And Strauss.
And Strauss also being allowed to go, looking like he's off to Newcastle.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess two kind of older players. I think Favaro, not only is he not Scottish, but he goes away for the Six Nations, so he can't cover Glasgow during the Six Nations period. Got a few young guys coming in. It's sad to see them both go, especially Strauss, because he's coming to such a rich vein of form. He's
playing for that contract, though, isn't he?
He is playing for that contract.
He wants a contract.
I mean, Strauss has got... I mean, I'm surprised Strauss is going to Newcastle. He has got a big buck French contract written all over him.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see whether he actually ends up there. Maybe if he keeps playing out of his skin in the Six Nations, he'll be priced out of the market for Newcastle.
It's the Scottish Legion at Newcastle.
It's great.
He's just such a patriotic Scot that he, you know, if he's going to leave Glasgow, he's going to go to the next best
thing. He's seen how John Welsh's games come on leaps and bounds down there.
You know? He's been wanting to get that chip kicking for
years.
He's
been wanting to get it going.
This is his
chance. He has been talking about it. But they've already talked about how they're going to replace them. Is it Gibbons, the chap they're talking about bringing in for Favaro?
Yeah, I think so. So I imagine this is Dave Rennie's influence coming into the mix. And he's a flanker that plays for the Hurricanes in New Zealand. I don't think he's played too much rugby in terms of actual caps for the Hurricanes. He's had 25 caps over the last 2 years. It's not too bad. I mean, a bit part
championship winning teams as well.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, he's not super young. He's like 20, 29 or so. So hopefully he's a sort of experienced player that could come in.
I mean, Dave Rennie's been following him and he thinks he can cut it. Why not?
Yeah.
And,
no, exactly.
And who's this other chap? Kebble. Is it Kebble?
Yeah, Ollie Kebble, who's a prop from the Stormers. So supposedly he's actually best mates with Hugh Jones. Maybe he has had a word in his ear.
Oh, that's good.
Because I think he's
get
20...
Get himself a wee flat on the Byers Road together. That'd be nice.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he's like 24 years old and playing for the Stormers, Western Province. And actually, I think Munster wanted to bring him over as a project player last year. So, I don't know, it speaks something
fair
about
enough.
What the SRU up to. And presumably, he's going to become a project player as well.
Yeah. And it looks like Edinburgh missed out on Ben Smith, the New Zealand fullback. Real shame.
Yeah, tough one.
Thought they were going to get him.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we'll wait to see. It's a shame Kieran Reid signed on as well. He was probably looking at a big... To be this All Black number eight is coming across to Edinburgh, though. It's a well-trodden path. You'd expect him to follow Blackadder's lead.
Just saving all the cash for Bowden Barrett.
That's the thing.
That's the big fish.
They do need the 10.
They do need the 10.
They do really need him. Right, quickly, let's tick off a couple other things on my list. Edinburgh 10, Munster 9 on Friday night.
Yeah.
No, that's not right. Munster 10, Edinburgh 9.
Munster 10, Edinburgh 9. Very quickly, Hardy back, looked pretty good. Damien Hoyland, actually, I thought, looked pretty sharp. It was an awful, awful game. I promised my girlfriend a romantic Friday night in, and we watched Munster v Edinburgh.
Lovely.
In the rain. And then the second half of the Scotland under 20 game.
It's a nice double header, actually, to be fair to her.
So, and she cooked dinner, so it was absolutely delightful.
There's a winner. And the under 20s you mentioned lost by a point.
Yeah, I mean, actually, when I was watching this game, I didn't see all of it, but the Scotland pack, especially, were absolutely class. Good Stu Melboy and Hunter Hill in the row.
He's absolutely massive, that lad.
Yeah, he's a big boy. But then Xander Ferguson's little brother, who I can't remember his first name, was playing, Matt Ferguson was playing seven. And I don't know what's going on at Strathallan, because they are making some big boys. They've got the Fergusons and Jamie Ritchie have come out in the last 3 years.
They're feeding them up.
He's meant to be like 19, and he literally looks like Josh. He's got like the size of Josh Stratt. It's a complete farce.
I think it's just good. For so long, our age groups were like proper whipping boys in that tournament.
Yeah.
So it's just awesome. Even if they are losing games, like to be competitive, it shows that we've got good quality talent coming through that will hopefully be able to make that step up into the professional game.
No, definitely. And I think... the other thing, the 10, this guy, I think it's Josh Henderson, who's been playing for Hawks this year, looks really good.
He looks sharp.
Very much in the kind of, very much like Finn Russell sort of player.
Oh, that's good.
He's another Strathallan guy as well. So, yeah, there's a really old conveyor belt.
What's happening up there?
So they're playing, obviously they're playing France this weekend, and I think that they've actually made wholesale changes to the whole team. So I don't know whether... last week was their best team or not. I don't know, but I know that Matt Ferguson's not playing, and Ross McCann, who's sort of top try scorer in the BT Prem this year, isn't playing either. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to the lads. And the ladies lost last play of the game. That was a real shame.
Yeah, no, it is a real shame. But I think someone said they lost by like 60 points to Ireland last year.
Oh, well.
So I guess in terms of progress... it looks like they're really sort of getting along. And I know, obviously, it continues their sort of barren spell of, I think it's, 6 years without a win?
I think it's 6 years without a win.
But yeah, I mean, look, they're obviously going forward, so...
Yeah. One final bit of news that I wanted to raise, but I didn't want to tell Alan about it pre-recording. Dent Wheezy's back for Bath.
Oh, yeah?
Denton's back playing, mate.
Am I going to have to go up to Bath and injure him?
You might have to go. You might have to go and get stuck in. Well, he's back. Played... he played last week, And I think he's playing again. I think they're playing Northampton this Friday night. So he's back, Dent Wheezy.
I wish him well.
Well, on that, should we crack on? Should we have a look at what was an amazing day? I was at Murrayfield. What an amazing day Saturday was. Matt, you were watching it from Kenya. So give us a dispatch from Nairobi. How did it look?
Yeah, Matt managed to somehow get the game on Super Sport TV, which I think says a lot of the South African rugby as well. And it was really good. I found that the first half was absolutely incredible. And I actually will admit that the second half I found too tense and I went for a walk until the last 10 minutes, which is a bit pathetic, but
plastic
it sounds as if I missed sort of the really stressful stuff. But no, I think it was great. Obviously, the first half was really incredible and I don't think anyone could quite believe their eyes. And actually, probably the most encouraging thing for me is that, you know, they only played well for about sort of 45, 50 minutes of the match. And if they can actually put together an 80-minute performance and cut out a lot of the errors and just, I think, make sure you hold on to the ball, then, you know, I think the team could keep going forward as well. I don't think they've reached their potential yet.
I don't think so. I think the first half was unbelievable and we didn't have any possession. And it's amazing that when you think about watching Scotland for the last 10 years, the number of times we've dominated possession but never been able to get over the line. But we had the first two touches of the first two attacks, we essentially scored. Really good team. The first try was a great team try. I think they got a little bit lucky with the bounce of the ball. Ringrose had to go for it, and the bounce went to Hogg. Still did a cracking job of controlling it and putting it away. But then the second try was just, it was amazing. Just like absolute jets. There is still no defense that can line up to just like pure pace like that.
Yeah, I think the key thing was just how clinical they were. I think all three of the tries were very different. I think you're right. The first try was all about sort of building the phases. The second try was just nailing like a 4-on-3.
Yeah, which Scotland don't do.
Which Scotland don't do. And the third one was just like a trick play that, and all three of those tries are just not how Scotland normally score tries. And it was great. It was actually just great to see.
It was brilliant. I thought one thing that, I thought Hugh Jones, sort of the golden boy of Scottish rugby at the moment, like I thought he was a little bit off the pace, but one thing he did bring to both of those first sort of attacking moves is really straightening the line and just hitting his man and then putting out a nice pass. Like genuinely just, you know, like setting a defence which puts Ireland on the back foot.
Yeah, with the second try, what we kind of find, if Hugh Jones had got that ball and just sort of shoveled it straight away, then Keith Earls is able to drift on to Stuart Hogg and make that tackle. But the fact that he sort of held on to it a second, kind of almost like fainted, just like a little dummy, and then passed it a second later, it just meant that Earls had to sort of check his drift. And yeah, that actually made the try. And actually, I was watching a bit of a replay of the game, and actually Hugh Jones's passing is really, really good. It's not something I'd really sort of thought about too much, but he's actually got a really good distribution game. And I actually, even though he was a bit off the boil, I'm really excited to see what he has to bring.
I mean, I think it's what we've been talking about is, can you pick him? Because he's not played rugby since November. And I think he showed he's not played rugby since November, but his skill set and just his physicality as well is brilliant. I think he's got so much to offer us. And he's so young. What is he, 22, 23?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that the fitness thing will come with games. Yeah. And it's great to get that under the belt.
He is a weird guy, though. I was on Sean Maitland's Instagram and he was filming Hugh Jones eating breakfast the morning after. Hugh Jones puts jam on his toast and then has fried eggs on top of it.
That's quite weird.
How weird is that?
But well, maybe that's the secret.
Maybe that's
it. International rugby player.
Well, maybe we should all do it tomorrow morning then. Well, I'm certainly having jam and eggs.
But yeah, a few more things. I think that the Scotland's defence was absolutely incredible. Obviously, not having a lot of possession, you have to defend well. And I thought that, you know, Ireland's big runners, the likes of O'Brien, and I thought Stander actually had a good game, but O'Brien, Devon Toner was made to look just like an absolute donkey. Like, he's running straight into people and getting smashed. So I thought the defence was really pleasing, and just the attitude sort of around the breakdown, that there was a sort of, you know, Ireland aren't getting past our line, aren't getting over the gain line. That was really, really,
I thought
really
it was
pleasing.
It was so just like raw and aggressive. It was unbelievable. Like really going, like really running out of the line. It's kind of like, it's how Ireland defended against the All Blacks when they beat them in the autumn. They were shutting down people, not just on the gain line, but 2 or 3 meters before it. And I think the people that were leading that, making the huge... Xander Fagerson was absolutely awesome in defense. Hamish Watson played 48 minutes and made 19 tackles.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just... he's an animal. And also, Hamish Watson, yards after contact. Every time he takes the ball into contact, he seems to at least make 1 or 2 yards additional.
Yeah, he's an absolute little beast. I'd actually say that Hamish Watson was my man of the match.
Yeah.
And if I'm looking at the first 50 minutes, Hamish Watson was man of the match. And the last 30 minutes, John Barkley.
Was my
man of the match.
Yeah. And we think that we've had some word that we think the Scotland team's going to stay the same this weekend. A lot of people were thinking, and I personally thought, that Barkley would probably start. But if that is how they're going to play it, maybe 50-30 or 60-20, we don't lose anything from that. Mm. Bringing on a guy with Barkley's experience and level head in the last 20 minutes is an amazing thing to be able to do.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my main points, and it's something I think that we've sort of maligned in recent years, that actually our bench has been pretty weak, and when it's come on, it hasn't strengthened the cause at all. But it seemed that when Barkley came on, I mean, what a great sub to make. Anyone in the Six Nations would be happy to have him. And even Gordon Reid came on, did a really good job, so he steadied the ship. So that was really encouraging. I think there's still a few worries overall. The fact that we switched off so badly, it just seemed inevitable. And there's something mental there which isn't quite right.
I'm not sure if we switched off. I generally think Ireland were, if you look at it, Ireland just held onto the ball and they just battered us. They kept it tight and they just really went for us. It's what they weren't able to do, and they were much more clinical. Because actually Ireland left loads of points out on the field in the first half. They were really scrappy, really poor at converting chances in the first half. Mm. It was amazing being there, watching Ireland kick for the corner off penalties, kick for the corner again, and get nowhere. When they got a third penalty, they kicked for posts.
Yeah.
And mentally, that was amazing. We'd broken them within that first sort of 20-minute period and said, right, you're not getting over our line by playing this sort of straight one-up rugby.
I think that was amazing. The thing. After that, Paddy Jackson in particular stopped kicking for territory, which is a very un-Ireland thing to do, but he stopped kicking for territory and was running everything. And he scored from a good line, but he's not really that much of a running threat, so he was just shipping it on to Henshaw and Ringrose, and our defence could deal with it.
Yeah. Should we talk about, I think you were getting on to worries, front row? I mean, that first 10 minutes was pretty terrifying for a Scotland fan. Three penalties straight away.
Yeah, my heart really sank in that first 5 minutes. I thought we were done, if I'm honest with you. And I think, you know, great to see sort of the skill level of the Scotland team that we were. I think we said there was only about 6 scrums, and we actually as a team I think only had like 1 scrum in that whole game,
and we won it.
And we won
100%.
100%. And I think Ross Ford actually looked all right when he came on.
Yeah. I know,
and it seemed to really. And with him and Gordon Reid, that scrum looked really, really solid actually. But yeah, going up against France, which we'll talk about later, their pack is very big, like a joke
really,
how big it is.
Really big.
So it'll be interesting to see whether... Did we say they're going to make a change in the front row?
I think the only... My man was telling me this morning that the only sort of position of contention is Gordy Reid for Dell, possibly. But he didn't know this morning. But he said everything else was going to stay the same. So that's as much intel as we've got to go on.
The thing is there was... those scrum penalties, and I literally couldn't tell you who was at fault in the slightest.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. I think Gordon Reid, if he does come in, will give a bit more sort of stability.
I thought he was quite good as well, actually, around the park. Gordy's putting himself around.
No, he was. I think Gordy's good.
Rumours of a big money move to London Irish next year as well. So, yeah, you know, he's turning some heads.
Good on the man. First 40 minutes, were really good. I thought that when we went 21-8 up at halftime,
yeah,
I think we immediately went into let's defend this lead mode, and immediately Laidlaw slowed down.
But let's talk about our man there. Let's talk about captain. He had a hell of a game.
Yeah, I thought he was great. I think Alan's point is very valid. But at the start, when Scotland were playing with that tempo and attack, I think that he leads a lot of it. Obviously, it's when he has front foot ball, but
yeah.
I think he's very good at getting his runnings into the games and marshalling things. And I think that his sort of leadership is really important. And obviously, the goal kicking, we all know about that, but he still bangs over the kicks when they're important and need to be made. So
I think for him,
he's still very important.
I think for him to have 100% day was really important. I think he is really great when he's on the front foot. And I think that one of my favorite points of the game, and it's been replayed a little bit in the sort of analysis of Conor Murray being scared, was Greg lined him up at one. There was one ruck where there was no post, and Greg lined him up.
Oh, really?
And then Conor Murray was going to kick it, but he didn't, and he tried to do a short pass, and it was a knock on. And then Finn picked it up and ran with it, turnover ball, and it was because Greg was down on his haunches, like lining up Conor Murray when he was going for a box kick. It was absolutely awesome.
I mean, that must be the first time Laidlaw
has lined anyone up
in his entire life.
I think so. No, it was absolutely brilliant, though.
But I think the sort of worry for me is, I think Laidlaw's performance massively impacts Russell. And you can see how much more comfortable Russell is playing at that pace. And I think once Laidlaw brings down the pace, it brings down Russell. Yeah. And I just think, and I'm sure that, look, they all know this. And I just think against France, especially, a team that has a big pack and has had fitness issues in the past, if we can maintain that pace we had in the first half, we should hopefully be able to run them off the park.
I completely agree. I just want to make a couple more points. I think Greg, just on Greg, his control, last 5 minutes, he made a choice to kick. I think we'd gone 1 point up and we got another penalty and he kicked it to the corner. And I think it was to keep the ball down that end so Ireland didn't get a restart at the other end. It looked like a weird decision.
Yeah, but some people were like, oh, well, Scotland were going for the bonus point. That, I don't think that's what it was at all.
I think it was him keeping... He didn't want to kick a penalty and give them 5 minutes to batter at the other end.
Yeah.
Which I thought was brilliant. And watching him, I was in the East Stand, so it was when he kicked that final goal, it was right in front of us. But he was bringing people closer to him because Richie Gray and Johnny Gray were standing at sort of a little... were standing a little bit further away, and he was actually saying, no, come closer, because I'm not passing it more than 2 foot, and you're going into the first man, which I just thought was brilliant for closing out a game. And, you know, we got there because Greg was marshalling them around the park.
Yeah. Just before we move on, I'm going to sort of open up my cupboard and pull out my sort of negative cloak of negativity. Ooh. Obviously, the game was great, but... If I'd said to you all before the game, should Scotland win if Ireland underperform, Conor Murray doesn't have a good game, and Sexton is out?
Yes.
Yeah. Like.
So we did. That's good, isn't it?
Whilst I think it was great, I almost think we're slightly getting... I think we should have won that game. Like, it's not like a massive surprise. And
okay.
And I just think... I don't know. I think we should have won it, and thankfully we did. We nearly shot ourselves in the foot in the second half, but we're a good enough team to put that Ireland team away.
Yeah, I take that, and I think it's after the autumn and losing to Australia twice in the last sort of 6 months, very famously, in those sort of periods, we went behind.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
After half an hour of getting battered and losing, and we went behind and then ended up winning. And I think that's the best takeaway that we've got from it, is that we managed to dig ourselves out of that hole, which I think is brilliant. I think it really sets in a good... But I take your point. And I think we should beat France as well. I don't think there's any team that we should really be thinking, possibly England, but I think we can beat every team in this competition.
Yeah, no, I agree. On that note, should we talk about?
No, just very quickly. France? We have to announce our cornerstone man of the week.
Oh, yeah?
I think we've talked about him, Captain Fantastic, Greg Laidlaw, the cornerstone of the Scottish performance. And because, well done, Greg, we can offer this to you and to all of our listeners. And that is £10 off your first order on the Cornerstone Razors. It's the GQ Razor of the Year. Alan, freshly cornerstoned, is looking incredibly sharp today. So for that, for £4, you get a hand-engineered precision shaft. You get your name engraved on it, or three initials of it anyway. You get 6 blades. That's all for £4. Just put Thistle in at checkout. And that is unofficially Greg Laidlaw approved as the Cornerstone Man of the Week.
Well, that also, the most famous user of the Cornerstone on the Scottish rugby team is Gordon Reid. I mean, look at
his Reid,
bonds.
Yeah. He uses it on his head.
And
Simon Webster used to use it
Simon
as well.
Simon Webster used to use it. He was one of the
architects of Cornerstone. Yeah. So there you go. Getting Thistle at checkout on the Cornerstone website. It's really, really good. And you can look like Alan Little. It's a very, very good chance. Brilliant for anyone who's seen him. Right, so after that, France, Sunday. Matt, how are you feeling?
I'm actually quite worried because I thought the England-France game, whilst not a sort of a great spectacle, was really interesting. And I think the main reason behind that is that the France pack really fronted up to the England pack and really took it to them. And I think that in recent years, Scotland have really struggled to do so against the England pack. And to see that, I think, is just a bit worrying for me. I think the likes of sort of just big guys, big ball carriers. Got Antonio the prop, who, as far as I can see, weighs 152 kilograms, 24 stone. Excuse me, no one in Scotland has ever been that big.
Certainly not an athlete.
No athlete. I mean, maybe in the darkest recesses. You got some obese people, but I also think that like Picamore is just unbelievable. Picamore. I think he's the best player in the tournament.
Do you know what was good about Picamore though? Because you always talk about his ball carrying and everything. Everyone knows about that, but it was like his soft skills, like his passing and his offloading, and just everything was just unbelievable.
It's not even just like the size of the forwards though. Like some of the backs, they're all absolute monsters.
Yeah,
like Fiku, Lamarat, Vakatawa, is that right? Yeah, got it.
Good enough.
Nakataki? It's something like that. Like, Scott Spedding's pretty big, lad. I mean, we're just
reeling off all these French-sounding names.
Yeah. I think, again, it's just, can we defensively hold them? Because I think we're going to score tries. If we have chances, we're going to score tries. And it's just defensively, how much can we front up? And hopefully, if we can take from the Ireland game, especially with the way sort of Watson, Strauss, Ferguson were sort of putting in those quite like dominant tackles.
Yeah.
Hopefully, should be all right. But yeah, no, France, you know, post that sort of New Zealand game in the Autumn International, when for about 60 minutes, they were probably the best team on the pitch. And for about 70 minutes against England, they were probably the better team on the pitch. I think the sort of rejuvenated French side at home, it's going to be a tough ask.
It's going to be really, really hard. But I think we can do it. I look through this team and, you know, like Camille Lopez, I think Finn's a better 10 than him.
I mean, Camille Lopez is pretty class. But yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying I think Finn's better. And do you think the double header that Glasgow did, and obviously there's like 10 Glasgow starters in the Scotland team, the doubleheader against Racing, who's the same sort of build of pack and things like that, same sort of style of rugby roughly, do you think that sort of lessens the sort of fear factor of going down to Paris on Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. I think the winning in France was a really big thing, and there are a few Racing guys in the French team. I still think, I'm not sure the last time that Scotland have won at the Stade de France, which might still be a bit of a monkey off their back.
Ooh.
Was it Hastings? Remember when Hastings...
No, did we not win it when Sean Lamont scored?
That was a home.
Was it?
I think it was Hastings...
Off the Toonie Flick?
Yeah, off the Toonie Flick.
No, didn't we beat them when we won the Grand Slam?
Well, in 99.
And we won the championship in 1999. Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that was the last time we beat them.
We beat France and Wales beat England.
Yeah, and Townsend scored because he scored in every game, did he not? Yeah. So that's the last time. So
quite a long time ago.
Quite a long 1999. That's yeah. So wow. That's a bit of a worry, and I just think that the likes of Pickhamall could really dominate.
He's a game changer.
Going back to him, but I think he could really dominate. And the scrum is a worry. And you look at the size of the French pack and the guys they brought off the bench, like, you know, Slimani, who came on. He is a very good scrummager. So I'm just a bit worried in that respect. But I think in terms of we're just as good a rugby team. We're just as skillful, and as Alan says, we will score tries. So I'm not worried about that. I think our backs are probably more exciting, more likely to sort of score tries.
I think what it's got to be is we've got to do exactly what we did against Ireland and get out and score points early, get points on the board, hopefully sort of rattle France. Because famously, the French crowd turns on the team very, very quickly if they think they're losing.
Yeah.
Hopefully get a bit of attitude going from these French lads, start crying and stuff like that, you know. Who knows? I think we just got to get out ahead of them, like we did against Ireland, and prove that we can blow them off the park.
No, definitely. Do you think it helps it being like a Sunday afternoon game, sort of less of a raucous crowd, maybe?
Possibly.
It's 2 p.m. on a Sunday. Like, no one's going to be, like, chinned, are they?
I'm just like... I don't know. I reckon some Scotland fans will do a pretty good job.
Oh, well, yeah. But, no, it should be good. My prediction is we're going to win.
I think we're going to win as well. And I think there's so many there's so many players that we didn't touch on in the Ireland game who had absolutely cracking games. Like Alex Dunbar was his best game in the Scotland jersey for a long, long time. Richie Gray plays in France, knows an awful lot of these players, can mix it with the physicality of these guys. He had his best game in the Scotland jersey for a long time.
Yeah.
The weekend.
Probably the first time I've seen him where he's been better than Johnny.
Probably better than Johnny. Johnny, quiet game Gray with his 28 tackles.
Yeah, just had a quiet game.
With the 28 tackles.
But yeah, I think Johnny had a really good game, but I think Richie, just every time he got the ball, seemed to be getting over the gain line. And especially in that first half, he was smashing rucks all over the shop. And I actually think that having Johnny Gray in the team seems to sort of, maybe just sort of brotherly competition.
Yeah, I think you probably also heard our podcast when we were suggesting that Swinnow might start ahead of him.
Yeah, definitely.
I reckon he's probably pretty gutted about that. He decided that he wanted to put his hand up. But
I think the other point is momentum, that just getting that first win is so important. And coming back from a loss, we never win the first game, and France are coming off a loss, so that could be really important. So yeah, I'm hopeful, but I'm not uber confident.
I think we're gonna win. I'm feeling good about it, Alan.
Yeah. We are winning.
We are winning.
We're going to win.
We're winners now. This is what we do.
Yeah, it's done. I've got it. I've got the confidence.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. Right, should we crack on then? We haven't done much of a preview there, but that's about as much as we can say, I suppose.
Yeah, it's fine.
We're going to win. You know, we don't need to preview it that much. It's fine. Nice and easy. Right, let's talk about... I'm not sure any other rugby podcast have talked about the British and Irish Lions at all.
We're going to do a quiz first.
Oh, we're doing a quiz? Oh, yeah. Of course. While we're still on Scotland-France, we've got a Scotland versus France special quiz from Matt, which he spent his whole time on holiday doing.
Yeah, I got in a lot of trouble for this, but, you know, it's the commitment to the pod. So here we go. A France-Scotland-themed quiz, especially for everyone out there. So see how you get on.
Let's do it.
So question one. How many times have Scotland beaten France in the Six Nations? So since it started in, 2000? They've played 18 times.
They've played 18 times?
Yeah.
Ooh,
how many Scotland wins? All right, number two. So from that famous Scotland victory over France in 2006 at Murrayfield, where, as you're talking about, Sean Lamont scored the double with that great blonde lid of his.
Did he not score once away from home as well?
Yeah, he did.
But we lost.
Yeah, we lost.
Yeah, fair enough.
So from that team, how many Scots are still playing professional rugby?
Oh. I mean, I'm just going to have a stab in the dark. Do we need to name them, or are we just doing a number?
Just a number.
Oh, that's fine then.
What? that's bullshit. Yeah, names.
Names?
Yeah, it's got to be.
I mean, I was going to put a number.
Well, you got one, Sean Lamont.
Yeah, I know Sean.
There you go.
I know Shawnee.
I mean, for a man with such an illustrious scoring record, he's scored a lot against France, so...
Yeah, yeah, fair play to him.
I actually can't really think of that many. So
yeah, neither can I.
Right, next question. What have we got?
Right, so the final, well, the third question is, sorry, one second. So how many in the current, how many Scotland players in the current Six Nations overall playing squad have played in France or in the Super 15? There's quite a few here, actually, which is quite upsetting, I think, mildly. But,
okay.
See how you do.
Oh, there is quite a few, isn't there?
How are we doing on that? Yeah, good to go.
I've got a few. Well, you don't have that much time, so probably do a few more.
Okay.
Yeah, go on.
And then final one. What is the capacity of Stade de France, which obviously the game will be played in this weekend?
Very good.
To the nearest, though, nearest whatever, nearest number. Obviously, the nearest number. Okay. Got a figure? Got a number? Got a thought?
Yeah. I'm still working on the France stroke Super 15.
Yeah,
players.
It's quite a lot of people, as I said.
I've got a few down there, so I'm feeling okay. Let's
so,
go for it.
Right, here we go. So, first question. How many times Scotland beaten France? What do we got?
I've written down two, but I'm going to say three.
I'm going to change it. Okay.
I'm going to change on, live on air to three.
I wrote three, and I'm going to change to two.
That's brilliant. It is two.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
I'm really upset about that.
That's not an ideal start. Yeah, there you go. Pretty terrible record, but that's what it is. So, from the Scotland victory over France 2006, how many Scots are still playing professional rugby? What do we get for that?
Do I have to do the names or the numbers?
No, just the number. Just want the number. What do we got?
I mean, I've written down three names, but there must be more, so I'm going to go for five.
Five, okay. What do
you got? I've also written down three names. I wrote down Sean Lamont, Scott Lawson, and Ali Hogg. But I think there's more, so I'm going to go with four.
You've changed it again to the right answer. Four. And you had almost all the names as well.
Is the other one Ross Ford?
No, he wasn't playing then. So, yeah, you've got Sean Lamont. You have Scott Lawson. You have Ali Hogg, still in Newcastle. And you also have Craig Smith. Who, I
playing
believe,
what? Third
Santa,
division?
Santa, I believe, is still playing professional rugby in France.
How professional, though?
Being paid, you know, is the definition of it,
fair
isn't
enough.
It? And he's a Chuma legend, so I had to include him there. Santa, what a man. Some stories about Santa.
I'm already out of this.
That's for another pod. Oh, no, you never know.
Is it 1 point per name of Super 15 Pro, top 14?
Sure. Yeah, why not? See what happens.
I mean, I don't think I've won, but.
So, player so here we go then. What have we got in the current squad who are playing currently, or have played in France, or have played in the Super 15? What have you got, Alan?
So, I've got six. So, my two French guys...
Do you want to go one about?
Should we do one about? Okay. Start with France.
Start with France.
Richie Gray.
I put down Mark Bennett.
Yeah, same.
Because he came through the Clermont Academy, didn't he?
Yeah. Okay. Hugh Jones.
John Hardy.
Yeah, got them as well. Are we including WPNL in this? No.
I didn't because he's not in the squad.
Well, that is bullshit.
But I also didn't write down Hugh Jones, so... So, you know, we can probably chalk that one up as well.
That's fair.
I wrote Strauss.
Oh, shit. I forgot about Strauss. Cornel Dupree.
I got Cornel Dupree.
And then I've not. Have you got anyone else?
Have we said Alan Dell?
Nah, mate. He hasn't had a super cap. So
Curry Cup.
Yeah, just Curry Cup. So that doesn't.
Was
count.
He? There's. Damn there's, you, Alan Dell.
There's one more.
Is it?
Sean
Maitland. Tulis.
Sean, have we
my
said,
man
have you,
Tulis.
Have you said Sean Maitland?
Sean Maitland, what? He's not competed in Super Rugby. Oh, he played in France, didn't he?
No, he played for the
what
Crusaders.
What are you talking about,
are
you
mental?
Idiot.
I thought you meant Sean Lamont. Sorry. Oh, yeah.
You've got Sean Lamont on the brain.
Final. Right, I'm giving Dave that one. And I don't know how many he got, but I think we're going to make this good. Final one a tiebreaker, the decider once
that
again
seems,
for
that
the
seems
win.
Very fair.
So, what do we get for Stade de France official capacity according to the intranet?
The intranet. I went for 85,000 people.
85. What do you got?
I think it's pretty big.
I have got 79,500.
Unfortunately, once again, Alan is the winner.
Oh,
it
come
is
on.
81,338.
So rounding up.
It was close. It was close.
Rounding up. Everyone rounds up. Come on, you've got to round up.
Not from 338.
Are you mad? Of course you round up.
No. Okay. So that was a good one, though. Well done.
I right like to, yeah, right the, super, to the, wire. The Super 14.
Yeah, I had to do some real research into that. And I was surprised.
Right, so we quickly touch on the Lions before we move on.
Yeah.
Corner the market before any rugby podcast talk about the Lions. Let's get our thoughts out there. Who do you think did well? Who do you think did badly? Any bolters in there? Alan.
So I think Hogg's the obvious one.
Yeah, I think we can agree that he's probably going to start, all things being equal.
So I have one thing about Hogg that I'm going to throw out. So I think there's kind of four things that you need to do good as a fullback, sort of basically attacking, which is class, kicking, which is class.
Oh, he's spiraling on Saturday.
It's
so unbelievable.
Sexy.
So nice.
Good under the high ball, which I think he's really, really improved on.
Yeah, definitely.
Actually, I remember even 2 years ago, I was never actually that confident with him, but actually on Saturday, he was really, really good. The one thing that does not worry me is when Carney broke through, and Carney, who's not a quick guy and doesn't have that good feet, one-on-one, Hogg missed a tackle.
He missed a couple.
And he got his ass saved by Maitland.
Great tackle.
Because Carney is slow as balls and Maitland is very quick. But against New Zealand, that's a try.
Yeah.
And
it was a bad miss.
And I don't think someone like Brown is not missing that tackle.
No, it definitely is a gap in Hogg's game. I think I was reading Jerry Guskett's sort of team. He excused Hogg and just said, oh, you know, you're playing 15, you end up in difficult defensive positions where you're going to miss tackles. But that one that you just isolated was not a particularly difficult defensive. So he missed a tackle straight up.
I agree with Guskett's point. And I always am of the mind that the attacker should beat the defender because they have the initiative. But I don't know, it was only Rob Carney. If that's like Sevilla or Ben Smith, then you're kind of thinking.
Yeah.
I think he is pretty much, when most people's minds,
plane,
he's nailed on, but you just never know.
He's on the plane.
Yeah, he's on the plane.
To say he's on the plane, I think that's all we can really talk about now. I think he's on the plane. Joining him, Johnny Gray, I would say he's on the plane.
Yeah, I hope so. But as we talked about before, it is just such a competitive position.
Cruz is now getting, is now going under the knife, looking doubtful.
Really? Well, yeah, that's the thing. And actually, it was kind of seeing Itoje play six on the weekend. You kind of thought this is good news for Johnny, but he
didn't
wasn't
well.
Very good. I just don't know if he's a six, and unless he's thought of as a six, then I think he's going to go as one of the second.
Thought Henderson had an okay game for Ireland. Toner is not
rubbish.
At the same level. Alan Wynn is going to go probably.
I thought he was pretty good.
I thought he was pretty decent. But I think Johnny's going to go. What about Richie? I think he's on the move. I don't think he's on the plane yet.
Yeah, I think he's on the move. I think if he pulls out a couple more performances like Saturday, I think he's up there with your Lontbury's.
Yeah, definitely.
I do think it'll affect him being out in Toulouse, though. He's so just kind of away from the public eye.
What about our man Finn Russell?
I think he's going.
I think he's currently going. Yeah. I'd definitely put him on the plane.
George Ford is off his game.
Yeah.
I think Farrell's 100%.
Farrell's nailed on because he offers so much.
Yeah, and but no, I think if you had Farrell starting at 10, having Finn Russell on the bench.
Yeah. Off. Sexton's injured. He's not. There's a lot of people talking about whether Sexton's going to get back to full fitness or whether if he does, he's good as he was, you know?
Bigger and not assured of his place. And what do we think about Russell's halfback partner? Do we think that
Laidlaw's
starting to play himself onto the...
I think he's on the move. I don't think he's... I don't think he's on the
On plane. Current form, he would be the third scrum half. Would he not?
With...
Yeah, I mean, he's had one good game.
Ben Young's had a bad game for England.
Well, he's had one good game. Like, I mean, you can't... I think
he's had a number of good games.
When was his other good game?
He played well against Australia in the autumn.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
Argentina in the autumn. Georgia in the autumn.
No, I mean, he's on the move. But I don't... I think if you...
That scrum half position is going to be tricky because you've got... Ben Young didn't have a very good game, but on his day is completely world-class. Connor Murray, I think you can say, is going to go. He's pretty much nailed on with that 9 jersey, Saturday notwithstanding. Rhys Webb didn't have a very good game and hasn't been playing well for Wales.
Yeah.
He could very easily go.
And
we always say he plays well behind a dominating pack.
And
you know?
He does. And he would be such a great Wednesday captain.
He would be such a great Wednesday. He'd be a good tourist as well. I reckon he'd love it.
He would be a good tourist.
He'd absolutely love it. Well, let's send him on. Let's send him on his way.
Can I say, I think Dunbar's going to go.
You think Dunbar's going to go?
Yeah. I think there's not a lot of that good centres.
Yeah, centres is a really interesting one.
I thought Jonathan Davis was good.
Yeah, Jonathan Davis was good.
But apart from him, I think Dunbar really sort of stood up. And
I think he's class.
Yeah.
I think he offers a huge amount. What about, as a little bolting option, Hamish Watson?
He's been playing really, really well. I just, once again, it's just such a competitive...
But that number 7 jersey, depends what they're going to do, though.
Probably pick Warburton.
Warburton.
He made one turnover against Italy, and the commentators almost... cream themselves. It was absolutely ridiculous. Like, he didn't even, it was actually should have been a penalty to Izzy because he didn't even release the guy. But I can just see Gatlin picking him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, possibly if he has a really good, you know, keeps playing the way he is, then why not? He's pretty fearless.
Yeah.
Warburton is a definition of fake news. Like, if it's a joke, it's like it wasn't actually.
He's a joke.
He didn't let go of the player, and like Jonathan Davis is loving it. And like, you know. That shouldn't have actually been a penalty. But yeah, I mean, that's whatever.
It's by the by. Warburton's not been good his whole career, but he's done pretty well so far.
If they're going to start for a 7, Tipperick will start.
Tipperick?
If they want to go for like an out-and-out 7.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that. Because the England guys are all like hybrids. They don't really have a...
6.5 nonsense.
They don't have 7s. I mean, Robshaw would probably go in the back row, but we're getting a little bit off topic there. Any other sort of Scottish big movers and shakers, do you reckon?
I think
Maitland?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, we talked about him as an option. I think that just one of my points would be that Fagerson's probably gone down in selectors' estimation a bit because of the scrummaging.
Probably because of the scrummaging. Around the park.
Around the park.
Unbelievable.
He's
brilliant.
So good for a young prop. And
how many props will go?
Maybe just
6?
I don't know.
8?
Quite a few. A
lot of props will go.
It's maybe just a tour too early for Ferguson. Gets a lot more scrummaging under his belt.
Furlong and McGrath will go. Mako Vuolipola.
Probably all the Welsh props.
Probably all the crap Welsh props.
Although, everyone should check out Samson Lee's Bebo.
Samson Lee's Bebo is great. Let's put that on Twitter.
Yeah, we'll tweet that tonight. It is fantastic.
Samson's Lee's Bebo is brilliant.
A few other players. I think Tommy Seymour, quiet game, still in the hunt.
Seymour and Maitland both in the hunt, I would say.
I mean, hey, I can't wait to do this every week and change our answer every week. So that would be great.
It's going to be brilliant right up until it gets drawn on. Well, drawn sounds like a lottery. That'd be good. Shall we call it a day?
Yeah. I'm gonna chuck out a tip of the week, though.
Go on, then.
Wales-Scotland double.
Wales to win against...
England.
And Scotland to beat France. That'd be...
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a great weekend.
I think England are ready for a massive fall at Millennium Stadium.
Oh, that'd be so good.
And I don't like Wales, but I actually think they could take them.
Oh, I thought Wales were so bad against Italy, though. Italy are really bad this year.
Yeah.
Italy are really,
they're worse
really
than
bad
Normandy.
This year.
I actually, yeah, now you say it, I could see it. Like, you know, the whole of the Millennium Stadium behind them really want to give a kind of slightly cocky England are doing.
Oh my God, it'd be such a good hiding really to give good. Them as well.
I'm going to take that double. If you don't win me any money, then I see you every week.
Well, that's it. A return of Alan Shearer thing. How good to hear that again. Right, so how about we call that a day then, guys? After an amazing week for Scottish Rugby, let's look forward to hopefully a weekend. Keep up to date with us, guys, at Thistle Rugby Pod on Twitter, and get yourself onto iTunes. Leave us a review, 5 stars, if you please, and we'll read it out on the pod next week after a big win against France. So another week gone. I'll see you later, guys.
Yeah, cheers, guys. See you soon.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.